So again, Mike Moran talked about some of the production and pricing issues that are an outgrowth of the tremendous growth in production of oil and liquids in the Permian Basin. The most significant problem from a Texas pipeline development standpoint, though, is that there are severe transportation constraints. That has been reflected initially in some of the pricing that Mike discussed. And you'll see the Waha hub in West Texas is where we benchmark West Texas natural gas production. And you'll see, in reference to the negative pricing that Mike discussed, in this year alone, we've seen it from $0 per MMBTU to minus $5 per MMBTU, and it's almost dipped to $6. That is significantly an $8 per MMBTU discount to the Henry Hub that Mike discussed over in Louisiana. So that's a very negative picture for the value of that gas and whether it will get to market. We have seen some price stability in the Permian from curtailed production, but that's obviously not an ideal result. What we're beginning to see now, and we'll discuss some of the pipeline takeaway and what that's done for pricing, we're beginning to see a little bit of that price stability. So we've gone from that $8 delta between Waha and Henry Hub to now closer to a 59-cent delta, where we're getting an average of $2 to $3 MMBTU for that gas. This is sort of a graphic representation. You see that April 2019 dip. That's the nearly $6 negative pricing that we were talking about. Because if you can't get that gas to market, you literally, as Mike was explaining, you're paying people to take the gas. And of course, a lot of that depends on the value of the associated crude production. But again, it's in no circumstance a positive result for producers when you've got to pay people to take the gas. The problem from a regulatory standpoint is, with regard to what the Railroad Commission of Texas has to evaluate, is that you get a significant amount of flaring. You can see in this representation, this is both New Mexico and Texas volumes, but what you'll see towards the right-hand side of the table is that the flaring volumes, this is towards the end of 2018, we're approaching 1 BCF, that's a billion cubic feet per day of venting and flaring in the Permian. So we're just literally, at this point, it's a better solution to just dump the gas in the air or burn it than to find a takeaway solution or a sales solution. So Mike talked about this is associated gas that we're talking about. It's the enormous growth because of the significant volumes of crude oil that we're producing. So the problem this creates for producers is that, well, what do we do with that gas? Do we vent it? Do we flare it? Do we shut in the production? No great solutions there. In Texas, one of the things that I often have to emphasize is that our regulation by the Railroad Commission is quite different from regulation by the FERC. The FERC is principally involved, obviously, in interstate pipelines, with just the midstream equation. But our Railroad Commission, when they evaluate any midstream equation, they also have to evaluate their statutory obligation to prevent waste. So one of the things that comes up is, well, isn't this by definition venting and flaring of gas? Isn't that by definition waste? Isn't there some statutory obligation on the part of the commission to try and prevent that? Especially when you think about the fact that if you were to sell that gas, it would be worth $1.8 million a day, in addition to the extent that there are environmental consequences to be mindful of. Nearly between 750 million to a billion BCF a day of venting and flaring is the exhaust equivalent to 5 million cars a day. Well, taking it back to what is the Railroad Commission doing, it's important to understand the last bullet here. The Railroad Commission has never denied a flaring permit or extension. In the last 7 years, has granted close to 27,000 requests to flare or extend a permit. It's a structural problem from a regulatory standpoint, but the hope is that it's a structural problem from a transportation standpoint that'll be resolved by the oncoming pipelines that are being developed. So you heard Mike discuss the Gulf Coast Express pipelines, the Kinder Morgan pipeline. Its design capacity is 2 BCF a day, and it is already operational. It actually began ahead of schedule Certainly began ahead of schedule of my house. And that has already begun to create some price stability for natural gas prices. And what you're going to see is a series of pipelines that are coming on. And these are all Permian-oriented pipelines that are designed to bring gas to the Houston market. But in particular, if you look at the Gulf Coast Express, it goes to Agua Dulce outside of Corpus Christi. And going to the gas demand side of things, what that does is it creates optionality. Because you've got, from Corpus, you've got the ability to access LNG facilities. You've got very significant pipeline infrastructure to deliver it to Mexico. Or if there's Gulf Coast, Petchem, even City Gate needs for that gas, you've got connections that'll help you deliver that. So that creates very high connectivity equals high pricing options. And that's really what you want to be able to provide for producers. The second pipeline, and Kinder Morgan has moved rapidly into this space, is the Permian Highway Pipeline. That looks to be coming online in the third quarter of 2020. And as Mike explained, there are some right-of-way challenges that have come up in association with that pipeline, and I'll discuss those in just a bit. By the way, Kinder Morgan has announced yet a third pipeline of approximately 2 BCF. And so, again, they're making significant strides to change the takeaway picture so that we get away from this problem of the gas pricing and the flaring.